What's up, everybody? It's your boy Andreas, and this interview with Donald Dunn, it's fantastic. I loved it. He spent a lot of years in the Army, I believe 20 years in the military. Founded his own business, went back to civilian life, and, you know, really had to transition into that. But he focuses on helping veterans get the benefits that they need, and he does that through a couple of different platforms. He's built up one with a podcast, another with a radio show. He's also partnered with other organizations as well, nonprofits. So if you are a veteran lover, or you're a former veteran, or I mean a current veteran, you can definitely help him on his mission. There's a lot of military communities around the globe. You can help pour into him because he's doing a lot of stuff on his own.
Yeah.
And if you don't work on your business and you just work in your business, then your business falls apart.
Of the revenue, right? Much like in a startup.
Yes, man. And let's get some of our old soldiers back out.
Musicians to be professional. They know how to talk.
To help them wake up happy. It's not about a rectangle on a price.
Hey, child, we're tuning in for another episode of Make That Radio Show. I am your host, Andreas, and I have another interview being brought via Zoom. And this was a Podmatch interview. So definitely, if y'all are out there, you want to, if you're podcasting, you want to, you know, up your clientele, up your listenership, I think it's a great resource. So you can get at me and I'll give you my affiliate link so you can go ahead and get started. But we have Donald on Zoom with us, Mr. Donald Dunn, who is CEO of Heroes Voices Media Foundation. Now, Donald has spent 20 years in the military. He was in the Army. And during that 20 years, he spent 68 months. That's a little bit over 5 years, isn't it?
Yeah.
Deployed in combat tours. 9 months he was in Bosnia, and the rest he was in Iraq and Afghanistan. He opened up a military, after the military, he opened up a trucking company, and then he shortly had to close it due to COVID. Since then, he has started a podcast called Two Drunk Dudes in a Gun Room to highlight the struggles and the successes of veteran community, and he's building a nonprofit called Hero Voices Media Foundation to help veterans reach their dreams while getting therapy doing it. Donald, welcome to the show.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on.
One, I want to say this. I have never been in the military, but during college, I got to meet a lot of different military personnel.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my best friends, and I'm like, we brothers at this point, because we've been best friends for like 20 something years now. All right, we go to each other's houses, play with each other's kids and stuff like that. He's he's from the Marine Corps. He was a Marine person. I developed a great appreciation for what y'all do, especially when you're going to combat zones, because he would tell me stories and stories. And I'm like, that is amazing that, you know, people have this love for the country and to be able to, like, you know, self-sacrifice if need to for a belief system. And it bothers me the way that when you come back from doing your tours and stuff and you're wanting to receive your benefits, that you have to go through all that crap and all that red tape. I wish that there was some way that I could fix it and just like with a magic wand or whatever. I think, you know what I'm saying, there's too much red tape and stuff, and people like yourself shouldn't have to, you should get their benefits. I think y'all should get benefits for life. So
yeah. You know, there's a fine line, and this runs deep within the military community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a fine line between what we feel that we have earned,
mm-hmm,
versus some of the things that people say that we should get that are, you know, in mm-hmm my opinion, not related.
Mm-hmm.
So things like our retirement,
mm-hmm,
I believe that is earned, no different than anybody else that works X number of years for a company.
Yeah.
our medical benefits, I believe, is earned. And mm-hmm. and the reason why I say that is because no different than anything else, if I break something at a place of employment,
mm-hmm.
that place is responsible for fixing me and paying for the damages done.
Mm-hmm.
And that is no different than in the military. If you damage something by neglect, they're going to take it out of your check,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so over the years of damage done to our bodies,
mm-hmm.
We earn the right to be taken care of.
Yeah.
The problem is when you get out, that they do everything they can do
mm-hmm.
to say that it was not related. And I'll give you a prime example.
Mm-hmm.
When I came in, I was 19 years old,
mm-hmm.
no knee surgeries, no knee problems, and
mm-hmm.
20 years of doing road marches, you know, 12 mm-hmm. mile marches with 70 pounds on your back
mm-hmm.
and time restraints that cause you to have to run portions of that to make the time limits.
Mm-hmm.
Damage has been done to my knees. And
mm-hmm.
when I filed, they told me that was not military related.
What?
But I got 5 years of time in areas where it's uneven terrain and hard
Mm-hmm.
walking and
Mm-hmm.
else. And, you know, you end up having to get attorneys to get what you earned,
Yeah.
you know, but, yeah, there's a lot of red tape and there is definitely a better way that they could integrate this,
Mm-hmm.
as you're leaving the military. And there's
Mm-hmm.
a lot of people that if you don't do 20 years, you are going to struggle to get anything but a handshake. And
Wow.
that's not fair either.
Yeah, I don't believe. Yeah, exactly. I'm with you 100% wholeheartedly on that. So you do, and you have that experience in the military. So then, you know, you do open up the trucking company. How long were you able to have that before you had to close it down due to COVID?
So I retired in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes a little bit deeper than just COVID. So
Mm-hmm.
I started in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
I was no different than a lot of other soldiers. I was struggling with PTSD and
Mm-hmm.
not that there was any problems,
Mm-hmm.
blaming everybody else and not even looking or understanding what the symptoms of PTSD is. You know,
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even want to look it up because that's not possible, you know? And, some of those symptoms, contain things like, spontaneous decision-making, and stuff like that. So I was not mentally able to run that business. And I made a lot of mistakes between no experience and my mental condition at the time. And I put myself in a bad position when COVID hit. So financially, the business was maxed out in cost. I had bought a new semi truck just 3 years before that happened. And you're talking about $160,000 piece of equipment. And versus the older truck that I had that did have a lot of maintenance requirements, I was not in the mental shape to look at these numbers and make an educated decision. So when COVID hit, I financially couldn't handle the downswing.
Yeah.
And I finally, by this time, had gotten some help. When you're looking through a different lens, man, you look around, you're like, I didn't even know I was standing here. And you look how bad the battlefield has became. And it's all, you have nobody to blame but yourself, because now you're analyzing what you did and you're like, how did I make these decisions? And so that's another reason why I closed it. And on top of that, my mom's age was failing. And I had been driving back and forth between Georgia, where my family lives, and where my mom lived. And I would take loads through there so I could stop and do her honey-do list. And I would pull things from the basement of her house and bring up that she's going to need for the next few months, you know, like holiday decorations and stuff like that. And financially, I couldn't afford to keep doing that because I couldn't afford the time off, and I couldn't afford how low the rates had gone to go in and out of Iowa.
Yeah.
So that was another decision. I was going to move my mom to Georgia and keep my business going where my wife could help.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was going to lose so many medical benefits. And we talk about red tape. That's mm-hmm. another. That's it. Social Security and Medicaid is another failed mm-hmm. system.
Yeah.
But I couldn't afford what I was going to have to help her with financially
mm-hmm.
because of that. So I took a job in Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
In 2021.
Mm-hmm.
So the trucking company went for almost 7 years.
Okay.
Out of there. And then I still got that same job from 2021. Mm-hmm. And I moved my mom to Missouri. So, you know, I support my family in Georgia and I try mm-hmm. to go back home and see them as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also living here, supporting myself and my mom
mm-hmm.
as well. So, it's challenging.
Yeah, it is. It is very, it really is. And I imagine, excuse me, within your family dynamics, were you the first like entrepreneur in family or?
Yes, I was the first that ever opened up a business. You know, it's kind of ironic as I grew up, you know, I came from blue collar workers, you know, mm-hmm. my mom was either working in a factory or working as a waitress. And my dad always worked in factories.
Mm-hmm.
And growing up, that's what I was told I should do. I should mm-hmm. just go to work for a factory, enjoy their benefits, and be happy. Mm-hmm. And it made me resent factory. Yeah. I watched how my parents struggled, and I watched how many hours they put in. And now I work for a factory.
I get it, though. I'm glad that you had that, you know, the entrepreneur experience, though, because, you know, a lot of people don't get that. And, you know, they don't necessarily get to see what it takes to really build something and to even have it that long. I'm like, 7 years is still an accomplishment and a feat into itself.
And it is tough, man. I mean, everybody, I laughed after I did it. I really do. And to mm-hmm. this day, when I talk to veterans and they say they're going to get out and open up their own business, because and I ask them why. I always ask why. Why do you mm-hmm. want own business? And then nine times out of 10, you get the same answer. I want to set my own hours. I don't want to be told when I have to work. Mm-hmm. And I said, you are absolutely right. You will not have anybody tell you you have to work, but mm-hmm. you're going to find out that you work damn near 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
Even when you're not physically doing your job, you're mm-hmm. sitting there thinking about your business on how to improve it. Cause if you're not, it's going to fail.
Exactly. It really is. And so with the podcasting, I've gotten so detailed and deep that I have multiple shows that I shoot. So I do like the interviews, and then I do other style of interviews where I have this one show titled The Ugly Side of Entrepreneurship, where I sit down with entrepreneurs and we dive into like the really ugly side and get into details.
Yeah.
And I'm working on season two right now. It's actually in production. I got to finish editing the rest of the episodes for season one. I have a few of them out on the YouTube page, but then season two, it's like, I did it because of all the shows like The Profit and Shark Tank.
Yeah.
They were selling like stories, but I'm like, that's not entrepreneurship. I'm like, that's the cream of the crop, or that's the opportunities where people, you know what I'm saying, have been able to come and navigate all these pitfalls and stuff like that. And they're not really talking about what it takes to even get to that point, to get your first sale, to get your first load, to be able to continue stuff. The fact that as a solopreneur starting your business, you have to wear all of the hats.
Yeah.
And if you don't work on your business and you just work in your business, then your business falls apart. So it's a lot of stuff that, you know, goes into it that people don't realize. And shows like that, I think, give entrepreneurship, they dangle a carrot in front of people to where like, oh yeah, do this, whatever. And I'm like, yeah, you're not really doing it like you're supposed to. So you went through that experience. Where did the podcast and then the foundation come in?
So when I moved to Missouri, how I got the job I got was actually through my old first sergeant.
Okay.
He helped me get on, you know, he seen me on Facebook asking, hey, you know, how does somebody get a job? I never had a civilian job after mm-hmm. the military. You mm-hmm. know, I went straight from the military to working for myself. And, so I started asking these questions. He seen it and he said, hey, are you looking for a job? I said, I am. He said, I have a place for you.
Mm-hmm.
He needed some help with some leadership within his supervisory ranks. And so I took that position, and moving back here, we did the same thing that all other veterans did. You know, we joined the VFW and was going there because we still wanted to be around that mindset. Neither one of us really liked the civilian world. I still don't, but we did not click. You know, the VFW is like anything else. It's a club, and some clubs are great and some clubs are really clicky. And even if the same thing, it's from chapter to chapter, what you put into them is what you get out of them. And I'm not going to talk trash about them, but they weren't doing much for veterans. And so my buddy, my first aunt, he owned a little gun business out of his house. And I would go over there and help him build ARs. We'd do some hydro dipping and you know, reloading of ammo. And then for fun and relaxation, we'd go to the range and shoot. So we were always around firearms. And, and I love bourbon. I don't drink nearly as much as I used to, but I still will have two or three drinks a week. He loved beer. That was his thing. And so one day I said, hey, why don't we start a podcast, man? And let's get some of our old soldiers back out and get them talking. And, and you know, we'll take it upon ourselves to start doing something for the veteran community. And we're both good at networking. So that's what the show was about. It was about putting veterans that either needed help or was doing something that needed another hand up and bringing them with organizations that could help them. And so he just laughed. He said, what would we call it? I said, man, we practically live in this gun room. I said, why don't we just call it Two Drunk Dudes in a Gun Room?
I love it.
And that's where it came. First season was literally filmed in that gun room. And, you could see the ammo. There's weapons on the wall and and everything else laying around. You know, I never thought it. I honestly, at that point, it was kind of a spontaneous thing. So I did not think that my show would grow the way it did.
Yeah.
I didn't really even think that hardly anybody would even watch it.
Yeah.
And so I didn't worry about the business side of it. And I sure as hell didn't want to own another business.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would have probably thought through the name more. You know, I just thought it was funny. It definitely relates to veterans. That's all we wanted.
Yeah.
And so I do to this day. I still refuse to change the name. My buddy dropped off at the end of season one. He was going through a tough time with the VA and his medication. And our stories were starting to get a lot deeper. He is kind of the reason why it became therapy in a way. There was a few shows that he just kind of surprised me, and I didn't know what the topic was going to be. And I just hit record. We're going to start. And I said, well, what are we talking about? He said, I already got a topic. It'll be a surprise to you. And he started asking me questions about things that had happened in Iraq and some friends that I've lost and stuff like that. We're seeing this stuff to come out.
Yeah.
And it was painful at first for a while. But I got to the point where I was able to start talking about these things and bring them out.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of where, you know, people seeing that in 501Cs started wanting to be on the show and it became very in depth. And when the VA had changed his meds and messed it all up for him, you know, he went from being very controlled and understanding to the stories were just starting to affect him.
Yeah.
And he started struggling. And so he dropped off after season one. And I'm no good at doing shows by myself. I start rambling and everything else. So I have to have somebody to feed off of. So that's when I started searching for guests. At this point, I didn't really know what I was doing. I literally have gained a degree through YouTube. That's what I have. I have an associate in YouTube University. You know, everything from editing and everything else, I now literally was doing it all.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I learned so many good things. You know, I learned that social media does not have to be a negative thing.
No, it doesn't.
If you start searching for good stuff, the mm-hmm. negative stuff will eventually quit showing up. It'll take time. Mm-hmm. But now in my feed, I don't get nothing but veteran-related 501Cs, mm-hmm. musicians. Mm-hmm. These are the things that I've been searching for now for well over a year. Mm-hmm. And I get no political stuff in my feed. None. Mm-hmm. You know? And so that has allowed me to help people kind of see through, you know, what it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the musicians came from.
Mm-hmm.
And then I discovered another problem. You know, when I started interviewing them, I realized that I have a full-time job. Mm-hmm. I do not support anything from my show. You know, I support my show.
Mm-hmm.
It's like any other hobby, man. It's going to cost you money. You're not going to make money from it.
Yeah.
And I seen the problem because, you know, algorithms and Spotify and stuff like that mm-hmm. become really, really hard to navigate.
Yeah, they do.
It takes money, or you have to have the odds of what it takes to make in the NFL, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But these guys, these musicians were trying to put food on their table, pay their rent, mm-hmm. you know, and continue on with a dream that they put on hold while they served our country.
Yeah.
And so out of the blue, another spontaneous idea, I said, well, why don't I just start a radio station and they'll give me their music and they won't have to compete with civilians and life will be good, right?
Mm-hmm.
And reality hit me
mm-hmm.
as I started doing this and discovered that the radio industry is not going to just allow somebody to do that.
Yeah.
So I had to make a decision on either starting another business or just giving up.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never been one to give up. So mm-hmm. I turned it into a business for the short time and got licensed through BMI and through ASCAP.
Mm-hmm.
Pay my royalties just like anybody else does.
Mm-hmm.
And the radio station started. And it has grown to 4 different channels now. We have a comedy channel, a station, a rock station, and a mixed genre station.
Congratulations.
Yeah. And, you know, the listening base is still growing.
Mm-hmm.
Every song is played.
Mm-hmm.
It all goes into a rotation, not an algorithm. Mm-hmm. So if you're that guy that's singing from your bedroom and just trying to get shit off your chest from songs that you wrote, your music is going to be played.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to do this as a business and get grown, your music's going to be played the same.
Yeah.
It does not, you know, and as we grow and we have so many songs, it takes longer for people to hear the other people's music.
Mm-hmm.
I create these additional stations to reduce that mm-hmm. so that people still get heard daily.
Yeah.
And that's when I discovered, you know, how podcasting helped me.
Mm-hmm.
I have found a support group.
Mm-hmm.
Podcasting. It was not a nonprofit. It was a for-business profit.
Mm-hmm.
And they have helped me tremendously, man.
Yeah.
I joined them. I recommend them to anybody that asks me about them. I'm not affiliated. I don't have any affiliation links or any discounts for you. I just can tell you as a customer how great it was.
Yeah.
That's when I discovered that media in general does help people.
It does.
It gets you talking. It's not therapy. Mm-hmm. It is something to help you find the right therapy for you.
You know what? That is the perfect way of saying it. I love that.
Yeah.
'Cause that's what I've discovered over time. And when you're building a platform, you're able to shine spotlight like you're doing. I love the fact that, you know, you got into radio too, because I'm like, obviously it's in my name for Banked Out Radio Show. I'm like, I did at one point have an active radio station. I'm like, I'm going to relaunch it, but the podcasting and the production side of podcasting has taken over so much stuff that I'm not actively in the radio side of it, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, I do.
I have my playlist and all that stuff, curating all that, playing independent artist music, paying for licensing fees, like you said. telling them they need to go register with ASCAP and BMI so they can get their royalties. I'm like, come on. I think there's a lot of misinformation out there, but I like the fact that you did create a platform and you consciously and intentionally doing something that's bigger than yourself, knowing that it serves a greater cause. I'm like, I love that. And that should be highlighted and supported like to its fullest.
Yeah. So I know that more has came back to me than I feel I have put out there. And the amazing thing about it is when I did it, I didn't realize how much some people would have been able to benefit from this. I was just trying to make the world even. And not have to give them a place to not have to compete. And in return, what has happened from this is I have partnered Operation Encore, which helps 3 to 5 veterans a year get a huge jump up in the industry. They help promote, they help pay for production costs for music videos and shows.
That is awesome.
They pay for all the travel for you to get to a show as long as you are being paid to perform. They will pay for the travel and the hotels for you to get there. And, you know, that's why they only, they're a small organization. So that's why, you know, as a nonprofit, they can only afford to do 3 to 5 artists a year.
But that's a difference maker though.
It is. And in return, what has happened, they sponsored my show. To help the radio station, and the radio station has helped them find new artists that didn't know about Operation Encore. Several artists got invites that were not part of Operation Encore to attend Zach Brown's Southern Ground, his camp for heroes that are doing songwriting. It's a class in songwriting and a week of camaraderie where people can come together and perform in front of other artists. There's no outside stuff. You can talk about your feelings. I mean, it's a huge connection, you know? I mean, Zach Brown is pretty iconic. To get that invite, knowing that they were discovered from being played on my song, on my radio station, is, man, how good it feels to be able to help somebody like that. You know, it's helps you with your own therapy because knowing that you made the difference, just that little speck, you know? So
I love it. Do you sell ads on your radio station yourself?
I have not pushed that yet. But we are now to that point where, I am looking for people that do want to pay for some advertisement, because since we have started the actual nonprofit, we're in the beginning stages. So Heroes Voice Media Foundation has not completely got their 501c yet, and and part of that is because I just don't have the money to front it for the attorneys and everything else. The full cost from the beginning to end is going to run us $1,800. And that includes getting our incorporation so that nobody owns it. It's its own identity, which is important to me. I don't want to be considered the owner. I don't want anybody else to be considered the owner. And so all of that entails cost $1,800. And so I've done a couple things on my podcast. On my website, I created what's called a wall of fame. And anybody that does anything for us, whether you buy a shirt, you donate $10, you whatever, if you spend more than $10 in any shape, way, or form, I put your name on that wall. And when it's all said and done, once we get to the $1,800 point, that wall will end. And I'm going to actually make a plaque that will stay with the company for the foundations of the people that helped us put the bricks together to make it happen.
That's what's up. I like that.
And so, I mean, I have got several names on there. I donated another $10 myself, and I put my dog's name on there because my dog is my best friend.
Yeah.
And so there's a brick that says Little Ann.
Mm-hmm.
And I paid the same as what anybody else would pay, even though I started it. You know, I donate $200 a month towards the cause. And we're now looking to spread that out and start adding advertisements. Now, I do have some free commercials that play on the radio station, and they're all for nonprofits that I feel are doing great stuff. Mm-hmm. So I don't charge them anything. I created some commercials for them. I let them approve them, and then I mix them in there as well.
Oh, well, see, I'm definitely, I definitely got to push this interview when I put it out and stuff, because I love what you're doing. I'm like, you're giving back in so many different ways that this is amazing. And stories like this need to be highlighted. I'm like, you're working with nonprofits, not even charging them, knowing that, your time and energy has been put into it, plus the equipment and expertise, designing commercials. I'm like, all that stuff is not easy, and people don't realize it. It takes a lot, and you have to learn these things, and that skill set is valuable in the private sector, because there's people who can't even do that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they get paid a lot of money.
I looked into some management companies to help me. Mm-hmm. So we have expanded a lot, and I have had to slow down on the promotion side because the infrastructure for what we're everything that we're doing just has not fully
built.
And it grew so fast, man. I mean, the radio station, like I said, is up to 4 channels. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like, crap, we need DJs. And I'm paying for advertisement on Facebook and it's another form of therapy. It's another form of is to bring veteran DJs in that want to have their own show. Maybe they have a podcast they want to promote, but they're still going to play the music that's in our library that are by veterans. Mm-hmm. And I don't care what I've told them. It's your show. You design it. You do however you want. I don't care what you talk about, as long as music is being played in your show. I don't want it to be a talk show.
Yeah.
And that's it. And so now I'm starting to bring in DJs.
Mm-hmm.
We started what's called MUPS, Military United Podcast Streams, for anybody that wants to be podcasters.
Mm-hmm.
I bring in people that talk about public speaking. I got a webinar coming up for them from a company that manages businesses that want to have a podcast to sell their products. Mm-hmm. So she's going to come in and talk about the business side of what stats are important, what to look at, and all that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And also under there, we started a Roku channel. Mm-hmm. And so on that Roku channel, I have got several veteran comedians.
Mm-hmm.
They need the same thing. They need people to help promote them. Mm-hmm. And so there's a comedy channel under our Roku app. Mm-hmm. There's what we call MMTV, Military Music Television.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like old school MTV, where it's nothing but music videos that the artists on our radio station have created.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a podcasting section for people that aren't just therapy. They want to take this to the next level. Mm-hmm. And so they have to put a little bit more effort into it. It has to be a higher, production cost and everything else for them. But, we look at the people that have been very consistent and are putting in that work, and they someday want to be able to do this at a much larger scale.
Mm-hmm.
So we add them to our Roku channel as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I have ran into some difficulties with Apple.
Mm-hmm.
So I have taken up some time to learn some coding and put our app back up that they took down.
Mm-hmm.
Once I get the app built, and then I'll also build the Roku, the TV channel for Apple TV as well. So those are the things that are coming in the future.
Wow.
Another thing that we are working with Operation Encore is getting some much larger sponsorship to create what we call the VMAs, the Veteran Music Awards.
Okay.
And we've got some sponsors. We got some people that are willing to sponsor and are very interested to make this happen. It's going to be in the Rhyme Auditorium.
Mm-hmm.
And our goal is to get the veterans that have succeeded and made this, your George Straits and people like that, get them to host it.
Okay.
And want to have a method to pick 10 independent veteran bands or singers that are just out there grinding and just trying to get ahead,
mm-hmm.
and have them play on the VMAs, on TV, and mm-hmm. give them an opportunity to get some red carpet experience the limousines pulling up and the
mm-hmm.
in interviews and playing on a large scale production and have their faces seen in the crowds, just like you see on the CMAs, you know, when their name gets called.
Yeah.
And, that is our goal. And, I don't think it's unrealistic at all. It will take money. It's going to take a lot of work, but, you know, some of these guys may never be the next Garth Brooks, but for that one day, they will be.
Yeah. My heart is happy that there's somebody out there like you doing this. I'm gonna figure out what I can do to help, like, you know, push and stuff like that. I'm just sitting here thinking in my head, I'm like, what can I do to help? Because, like I said, I'm not military, but I do have a love for everyone. And like my homeboy, I helped him start his photography business. And he comes to all the different stuff I do, because I do commercials, I do reels and content creation for businesses. He's doing the behind the scenes pictures and stuff. And he's been getting clients and stuff.
That's
like,
awesome.
I'll call him. I'm like, hey, Chris, come on through. You know what I'm saying? And help me with this. He's like, sure. He pulls up, snaps the pictures out of it, sends them all to me. Next thing you know, he's getting clients. And I'm like, Chris, make sure you bring your cards so people can know. I have to get on them. But he loves taking nature pictures, though. He invested in his equipment, thousands of dollars and all that stuff. He's always showing me new stuff that he buys. He makes my stuff look good because he's shooting behind the scenes stuff. And I'm like, wow, I just love it. I really do have this this connection with the veteran community, and anything I can do to help push for greatness in that area. And to, like you said, you're doing a lot, you know, which is amazing, and you should be poured into. So I got to figure out something. But how are you balancing all that? And I'm like, you're still working and you're doing all these things.
Well, I gave up things that were not extremely important in life, and that is sleep. you know, I do. I'm a general supervisor for a maintenance department at and so I am stuck putting 50, 60 hours in there. And I'm not going to lie, you know, from the time I get home to the time I finally go to bed, I'm on the computer either editing videos, uploading them to the channels that they need to go to. I've done all but two. I had to finally hire a web designer, which came from the military. One of my soldiers went out and got a degree in graphic design and animation. And so I hired her to do a couple of my websites that I just, you know, like the radio station website, I needed it to be able to do a little bit more than what I could do with WordPress. And so she manages that one, and she manages the nonprofit website. And, man, if anybody needs website design, I will hook you up with her. I owe her a ton, because she charges me next to nothing. I mean, I pay $50 a month for her to manage both websites.
And you will
never find anybody that does
that. Yeah.
It's partially just because she believes in our cause as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so anytime I can promote her, I will, because she does such great work. So that took a little bit of load off. And the rest of it is just, you know, I prioritize what's important and where I got to get. It does take me a little bit longer, you know, because I am doing it all pretty much, you know, by myself as far as the behind the scenes stuff. You know, I only have one other person that is on our board so far. We still got to find a few more board members, but it's hard to find people that, you know, it's not hard to find people that are very interested in what we're doing. But when you bring them on and they find out how much work and time they're going to have to give up, you start realizing that they really enjoy the cause. They just aren't really willing to put that work.
Yeah, because the work is what helps makes the difference.
It is. And it's hard. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. It really is hard. You have to dedicate the time to it, to get anything out of it. And so I don't blame people when they say, "Hey, I in my life, I don't have time. I have kids, I have a job, I have house to manage." I do get it, So there's no hard feelings. But we're not gonna just bring anybody on that, they have to care and want to be a part of it. And so it's being a little bit more time consuming to find those board positions. But we have a ton of other positions that could help that are volunteer positions. They're not board positions. Things like with social media, managing the stations, being a DJ, all those types of things, that you kind of prioritize when and how much you want to do. But And the other guy, he manages the MUPS side of it. He manages all the podcasters. I'm in the process of releasing our final project. It's called Words from a Warrior, and it's going to be the authors and bloggers and people that are trying to put their media in a book form, or they're telling their stories that way. And it'll be the same thing. We'll bring in people that are in those industries, non-veteran people that are actively doing this for careers, and let them talk to them and show them some inside secrets and share some knowledge with them, and also help promote their books and help them sell. I also write for a magazine called Veteran. It's called At Ease Veteran Magazine, and they release a magazine once every 3 months, so it makes it a little bit easier for me to be able to handle those timelines. So I write a small little section about how media and therapy can come together. If people really want to get involved and they want to know the best way to help us, obviously, donations are always great, but we can't do any of this without a listener base. So if you own a restaurant and you want to buy our radio station, it's free. I mean, I will give you all the links and everything you need. And all you need is an internet and a speaker and a phone, and you can have veteran music being played at any of your small businesses that you have. It'll help you and it'll help us, because nobody wants to advertise for a place that has two listeners, So, by increasing that listening base, it also will help us gain advertisements as we get going, And my goal is to make the advertisement space done as a donation type, so that, it's a tax deduction for the people that are giving us their money and their content to advertise, as well as helping with hopefully customers. I will tell you that I will vet anybody that advertises, because that's another reason why I quit doing my show live, because I refuse to push a product that is just going to get money from veterans and their families or bullshit or Ponzi scams. I refuse to do it. So I don't care about the money. Money will help us, yes, but not at the cost of hurting our veteran communities. If you have one of those businesses that, if you do this and everybody you sign up, you make money off them, and I will not promote those.
I definitely understand that. So are you still based in Georgia as far as your foothold or?
I own a house. My family, my wife, my kids, and everybody still are in Georgia. And I go home once or twice a year and knock out the honeydews list there. So like this Christmas, I went back and redid my deck and put a roof on my house for the 2 weeks that I was home, and got to see my grandkids and spend some time with my wife and kids. And I plan on going back again July, and knock out some more summer related stuff, so indoor type things, because I'm old and the heat kills me.
Yeah. I don't know if I told you. I'm in Macon, Georgia.
I live, my family's in Jessup.
Let's
so
see.
We're by Brunswick. Yep.
Yeah. Look at that. That's what's up.
Yep.
I'm definitely going to have to really push. And like I said, I got some ideas I'm working on in my brain now. I have to spitball with you.
Okay.
But Don, I have been enjoying your time. I do have another interview I have to do, but this has been fascinating. Thank you for telling your story. But I want you to let everyone know where they need to be directed if they want to support in any type of manner, things of that nature.
Okay. We have websites. That's the easiest way to get to the radio station. Gunroomradio.com will get you to any website. Everything we offer does not require any sign-ins, logins, emails, none of that stuff. It's a matter of click and hit play. And so you can go to gunroomradio.com. You can go to my website for my podcast, Two Drunk Dudes in a Gunroom.com. I don't know when this episode will air. I just started this weekend. I'm transferring all my websites to a U.S.-based company just for the customer support reasons. And so the websites will be down this weekend and probably be back up on Monday as everything clears out. But you can go there. You can also go to any of those two things on Facebook, Facebook, and all the links to the radio station I have pre-posted in those pages, because the radio stations are still up, you know. And you can go there. So if you go to Gunroom Radio on Facebook, I pin the links, and they'll still, you can still listen to the music and all that stuff. The podcasts are also at Military United Podcast Streams .org, and our foundation is Heroes Voice Media Foundation.org.
Okay.
You can donate at either one of those two sites, at Heroes or the Two Drunk Dudes, if you want. If you want to advertise, you can reach me at Donald Dunn at gunroomradio.com. You can reach me through email there, and if you would like to advertise, you can. We can talk and figure out your budget and what it exactly you want.
Well, Donald, thank you for your time. I appreciate it. And you're out there working hard, and I'm going to figure out on my end what I can do to help like your life a little bit better. You know, even if it's just resharing and
that helps. Know,
I'm going to do something. I just want to figure out, like, you know, I want to be impactful and intentional. So I'm going to think of some stuff I can do. I really resonate with the story and the mission of what you're doing. I'm definitely going to call Chris and tell him, hey.
Absolutely, man. Have it shared with all of his veteran friends and everything. Because, like I said, you know, the idea behind the radio station really is for people to hear it. And everybody's around a little festival. You know, for Veterans Day, whatever. And the VFW's in their area. And all of these guys need gigs. They do not. I literally pay them less than a penny per song I play. They make very, very little.
Yeah.
So what they need is people to hear it and say, man, I really like that guy.
You know,
we've got several Purple Heart recipients that are on our station. They have amazing stories, and they do great for these little festivals. And you make nothing off of them.
Yeah.
I will put you in contact with them, and between you and them or what they charge and how it all works out. You know, we're literally just connecting dots.
Exactly. I love that. We'll keep on connecting the dots. And I definitely want to hear about, you know what I'm saying, how many more dots you connected in the future. So we definitely going to have to link up again and talk.
Absolutely.
But everybody, y'all go out there and y'all support Donald in the mission. Go to spread it out to all the veteran fans that y'all know, especially everybody down here, particularly in the middle Georgia area, Warner Robins. I'm like, it's a base down there. I'm like, come on. Y'all go ahead and spread this message. And as always, y'all can keep following the platform, Bank That Radio Show, across various social media and also the website.